got anything they'd like to open with.
Ryan, did you play any other sports besides tennis prior to being 14?
I always like to play basketball around the park with my friends, but nothing nothing too serious. No.
Satoshi, when you're developing the strength and conditioning program, due to it, how tall are you?
6'10".
How do you change it for an athlete that's 6'10" compared to, you know, an athlete of, let's say, more average height? Or do you have to?
That's a great question. We start seeing kids more consistent based about age 13, 14 years old, and the boys sometimes they are still not in puberty and all growth spark yet. And girls are different stories, and sometimes they are immature or they're 13, 14 years old, they might have the body of the adult. But it totally depends on the development phase, and we usually wait until they hit the growth spark. And after she did growth spurt, we're going to start pounding more and intensity is getting higher and everything. So the interesting thing about Larry is that he didn't have a growth spurt, basically. We've been charting his height last, 3-4 years for sure. And then last 20 months or so, it's quarter inch every month. It's consistent. And he finally slowed down last time we measured from a quarter inch in 2 months. So slowing down a little bit. But so that being said, it was difficult to see, okay, where we start doing more high intense training and everything. But we're just kind of waiting for the kind of slowing down like this time or like last 6 months or so. And going into that, making sure she has a good foundation of everything, good exercise technique and correct speed. So when he's ready to do more exercise and intensity volume, he's ready to go, which is he is right now. We're pretty comfortable about it. Regarding to the size of the body and something different than the different height or shoulder athletes. Yes and no. I believe that if you have a good foundation and skill set and everything, you should be able to do all the exercises. Now, like basketball players and inside the body sometimes has a more stress on the knees and see some types of the knee tendonitis type issues, and we address that. We do single leg exercise, do some BMO activation exercise and reps and work on the corrective exercises, but nothing different than other athletes. We just small, tall, big or small, we try to identify that the issue of the body, and then we just attack that. So that's how we address, and that's how, where we are right now. I don't know if you want to add anything, but.
Yeah, if there's anything out of that, with him, it's as he's been growing, unlike other players, the rehabilitative portion has become even more important for him. So really good routines with stretching and hip mobility and protecting the low back and protecting the shoulder. It's important for all players. But with him, I would say, especially over the past year or so, we've made that probably the primary emphasis when it comes to his fitness. Is that health standpoint.
Brett, I know obviously there's a lot of practice time lifting. How do you help to combat overtraining?
That's a great question. If I had the answer, I'd write a book right now and sell it and make a lot of money. But that's tough. I mean, it's a lot of communication with the coaches and figuring out the days that are rigorous on court, when to back off in the gym. It's a lot of accountability on his part to voice how he feels. It's a lot of recovery, focusing on a lot of recovery. again, going back to the rehabilitative stuff, I mean, that's been a primary focus, doing a lot of flexibility and core work and so forth. So I guess to answer your question, it's a lot of communication between us, strength and conditioning staff, and the rehab staff, as well as the coaching staff, to make sure everybody's on the same page as what he's doing to control his volume.
I got a question for Riley. Don't share too many of your secrets, but if you can share with the group some of the things physically that you may be working on right now that you're trying, you know, you're sort of working towards a longer term plan to improve.
I think right now, in the last couple of months, it's been flexibility. I've been spending a lot more time stretching, like twice a day for like 40 minutes. And also, he's been helping me out with that whenever he can. And also getting a better warm-up routine, that way I can stay healthy and you know, prevent some of the injuries that have kept me out so far this year.
Excuse me, to piggyback off the woman's question, as far as the volume that has increased over the years, did you follow the rule as far as trying to train based upon your age, as far as like the number of hours of training on court and off court training, or did you follow some other type of rule or regimen?
No, like, set in stone, like, okay, age of, you know, 13, 14, and this many hours before, this many hours of fitness, anything like that. It's like, Fred said, it's totally individualized. And then unique thing about the right body was, you know, he was growing a lot, and like I said, it's continuously growing. It's just, his recovery time wasn't as good as other athletes. Maybe related to the growth related to maybe what he's doing, not he's doing, I don't know. But so we took more time off than other players compared to the same age group. We took a little bit of time off from the pounding exercise running because of his growth and knees, those kind of things. So it's nothing set in stone for the hour, you know, this age, how many hours, anything like that. Like Brett said, we just communicate all the time and try to find out where he at right now, and we're going to set that before we're going to put them along. That's how we address that volume control.
And then, you know, he's a little bit different than other athletes we see because he's been with us for such a long time. So, you know, we may have, let's say, a camper or a training prep group of kids that come in that are 12 years old. We pretty much know what we're expecting to get, and we know how to train that group. For that appropriate age, but you know, for somebody like him who's been through the system for a long time, you know, he's developed a pretty decent base and his technique is great. So with him, I think we've been able to maybe do things that we're not able to do with other kids his age that come in that don't necessarily have the background.
I'm not sure if everyone heard all that question initially about the training, the number of hours per week as the child's age. That's a concept that's being promoted. There's a small amount of research to support that if you train a lot more than that, injury rates go up. The challenge is that's a recommendation for the masses. For elites that are looking to be a professional athlete, you probably are going to see a slightly higher volume than that in general, but that's a good general rule for the masses, that if they're 13 years old, they do about 13 hours of sports-specific skill training. That's not including necessarily the fitness side, that's hitting tennis balls, that type of, you know, equation. So just for the folks that weren't familiar with where that was coming from, that's sort of the concept behind that.
And just another point, you know, with him, it's been a learning curve for all of us. I mean, you don't see too many 6'10", 6'11", tennis players out there. So, you know, we've had to adapt and change quite a bit over the past couple of years in the gym and as well as on court. Based on, you know, how he feels and how he's been growing. So,
if there are any tournaments and you still do physical conditioning to get better during the tournaments, you only maintain what you gained before. Like if there are some tournaments that are not that important for you, ranking wise, and you just still work on things and you want to get stronger, or you always, when you play tournaments, you always maintain what you gained.
I mean, during tournaments, whatever, depending on how the day goes, it's hours, I mean, how much time I spend on the court. I try to do plenty of work in the gym. Usually Satoshi sent me my plan where I can. It's just, I mean, mainly it's just trying to maintain the work we put in before. So it all depends on how I'm feeling from my match and how much time I was on the court that day.
Yeah, the tournament on the road program is a tricky one, and it's not just him and every player. We have communication players and coaches, and it depends on how the tournaments go, depends on how day goes, depends on the schedule, like you said. Some tournaments, in the coach's mind, you know, this tournament we're just trying to do it because it's not that important. We're going to pick up the player on the tournament. Of course, for players, you know, every match counts, so it's very important for them. But we communicate that, and then I usually call or text to the coaches, or I communicate with Ryan, and when he's away from training center, we initiate the communication, and that's kind of working. He sometimes good at it, sometimes not so good at it to keep in touch with me, but. That's the learning process and educating to the young players. Hey, this is what you have to do if you want to get to the next level. This is what I'm doing with the top veteran players right now. Giving him an example about other American or other countries, the professionals, what they're doing with the fitness coaches, and this is what you have to do. He's a pro now, and he wants to get to the top. And so that's kind of the learning process right now, the educational process right now. But doing good, it's you're going to communicate with me throughout the week, this is great. So yeah, that's how we do it.
Could you talk a little bit more about what those workouts might look like post-match during a tournament, depending on what time of year it is, what speed-oriented, strength, power, stuff like that?
Yeah, again, it totally depends. I mean, just talking about him right now, he's playing this tournament. He lost yesterday. He got probably 4 or 5 weeks, almost a week to the Covington now. So, we try to pick in his strengths and energy and power, those kind of area. But at the same time, he wants to probably spend so much time on the court and then making sure his priority is tennis too. So it depends on his schedule. Like he's going to be in a tournament site, that's going to be a tricky one. You can't get the practice time what he wants, especially after he loses. He might have to practice at night because that's only practice time available. So that's how we do it. I'll give him coach some basic idea of, okay, today I want you to focus on some lifting strengths. Today I want you to do some footwork and agility. Today I want you to take recovery, take it easy on the body, making sure you do all the treatment and regeneration stuff and everything. So, and whatever it fits into the schedule on that day, our coach and himself will figure that out. That's kind of our focusing right now because of going to the important tournament coming to the US Open Juniors. Main focus is make sure he's injury free and then recover well, and you can do that all day long with team stretching and he's doing it. And on top of that, make sure he's keep doing all the strength exercise so he's not get too much of the training effect, and then more street movement and football drill, so he's always on that. And the footwork is in shape for the tournament.
Just to clarify for some folks that may not be familiar, Kalamazoo is the U.S. National 18s. It's basically the national championship for junior boys. So that's the tournament that's coming up next week.
Typically with tall players, joint health is of concern, especially knees. Do you modify his workouts with that in mind at all, reducing the number of amount of bending that he does?
Yeah, like I mentioned a little bit, we try to reduce the number of pounding, primary tricks to like hard surface running, just running. At one point, we just all the conditioning was not pounding. Maybe we just do once a week, running. So we just kind of save all the joint for the on-court performance. So that's kind of adjustment we do. And then huge component of that is protecting the joint. For me, as a strength and conditioning coach, it's also the strengths and muscular development. So make sure you got a good leg strength and the hip knees, lower body strength. And that's kind of I got from talk to all the strength coaches and dealing with the tall players. We spoke to a couple of NBA strength and conditioning coaches who is dealing with this size of athletes. Spoke to myself, John Eastman, and that team, what they are doing to dealing with those kind of issues. But we make some modification for the joint, but at the same time, you know, make sure, you know, we strengthen some of those joints at the same time.
Riley, I got a question for you. Regarding, do you have any goals for the next year that you're willing to share with the group about what you're looking to do, whether it's physical, game style wise, or even tournament result wise?
I think for shooting for next year, I'm going to try to, you know, start breaking through in the future challenge level. And I think in order to do that, I just need to get a lot stronger. And stay healthy, that way I can play full season, because challengers and futures, you know, you have like a 3 week span, so I need to be able to play for 3 weeks at a high level, which is it's tough to do for me right now. And you know, I think if we get I'll definitely have a lot of time in the off season with Satoshi and Brett to get stronger, and I think that's going to be like the main focus.
What kind of emphasis do you put on nutrition and supplementation for performance and recovery?
I'm not great at that. I don't take any supplements or vitamins or anything like that at all. And I don't eat terrible. I eat as good as I can. I'm not on any crazy diet or anything like that. But, I mean, I'll probably have to get a little better at that down the road.
Brett, you said you don't see too many players like Riley. Have you guys, been fortunate to talk to John or Sam, like, get their opinions, since those are tall guys, on their growth and when they turn pro, like, at a young age, and if they've been able to, like, be, like, mentors or... more physically for you, Brett, and for Riley, of like playing and growing up and in that type of environment?
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess from my standpoint, I have, you know, relationship with John and Sam, and have communicated issues regarding Riley with them. And you know, it's, I think from their experiences, that they have, I think, very unique experiences as well. And both of them come from a little bit different background also. So, you know, I think if anything, what I've learned from those guys is, again, the details with him are maybe a little bit more important than maybe the details with somebody else due to the size. And, you know, I've also learned through John, who loves to be in the gym, and he loves to lift weights, that we don't necessarily have to back off completely from doing that kind of stuff as well. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag with those guys, and even, you know, he's a different individual. But those guys have felt, and you know, I guess moving forward, that's a great idea to continue to talk to those guys and get in touch with those guys.
Is there a certain ratio with the junior players that you would use for strength versus agility and speed?
The junior players in 18 and under, I think it depends on where is their development phase is at. Typically, until they hit the growth spark, we try to keep in the strength training in about like 2 days a week and at least. And then more technique focus, and then low intensity type of exercise, and then do lots of ABCs to strength, speed, energy, quickness, footwork, balance, those kind of areas, almost every day in some sort of it. Sometimes just including for the warm-up, sometimes the whole session is about the agility, balance, and coordination type of exercises. But throughout the week, and we try to get into each component of it, and then make sure we get some, you know, at least a couple of days a week of the strength training to do like body weight exercise, to teaching the technique. That whole overall concept just to modify depending on the schedule and the development phase.
So this question is for Riley. So if you ever got the opportunity to play John Isner or David Fierro, which one would you choose?
Who was the second guy?
Go ahead. David Fierro.
Oh.
And why?
I don't think they're both.
One's up here, one's down here.
Yeah.
Let's qualify that. What surface are we talking about?
Right, let's say clay.
Yeah, I think I'd stay away from prayer.
Got it.
Yeah, this one's right. How much time have you spent like a sports psychologist or mental skills trainer? How much is that?
A little bit with Larry Lauer. It's like I definitely communicate with him on a weekly basis here and there, and mainly when I'm not at tournaments, I'll be with him and he just kind of helps just put some ideas in my head, and when I like it, I keep it, and sometimes I just filter out with what I just use whatever works for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Going back this past year and peaking at Wimbledon, is there anything you guys look back on the year that might have changed or contributed to that? Program?
I mean, I started off the year, I wasn't healthy for the first couple months. I just wasn't able to serve. I had some, upper shoulder, elbow problems, but we were able to do a lot of strengthening and cardio on the legs, and by the time French Open came around, I was healthy. I felt 100% healthy. I think physically I was in a really good, I was in a really good position. And in Wimbledon, I played, the first match was like almost 4 hours, or 3.5 hours, 13-11, and I was ready to go the next day. So I think having the first couple months to really work on my lower body strength and especially on cardio is really helpful.
Yeah, just add that. It worked out pretty well by accident, actually, because of the injury. And as we all know, it's very tough to create a periodization program for the players and then getting training block. And we always try to figure that out. Because of the beginning of the year, like he said, he got some injuries going on, we got the training block. So we work on all the base and foundation, leg strength, and then sometime, Greg can talk more about this, but an injury kind of hit the player. Why am I getting so much injury, and then why? And talking to us and talking to Brad, well, this is the deficiency of the muscle, this is the tightness on the joint, this is why. And then, so he kind of get that idea of, okay, I need to take care of my body a little bit better. And start stretching more and taking care of his body better, and at the same time, we have a good recovery time. And so, which, like I said at the beginning, it's kind of ideal training block to recovery phase to peaking at the right moment by accident, but it worked out very, very well. So,
I want to add, when he turned to show program in April, I would say maybe around January this year, when he was really trying to figure out what it is that he wanted to do, there was almost like a light bulb that went off in his head. And he started to become much better with his routines, much better taking care of his body on his own, so taking a little bit more accountability.
And I think that has significantly helped him over the past, you know, 4, 5, 6 months.
This question is for Rad. How tall are your parents?
My dad's like 6'6", and my mom's like 5'11", 6 feet.
Okay. Do they have athletic background or experience?
My dad played college basketball. And
give the school. We got a couple things.
What's that?
Give the school.
My dad went to Alabama, just like Kovac. But he also went to Auburn, so I don't know. It's a little questionable.
You know, there's so much of an emphasis on playing with a wider base on the court now. Are there a lot of exercises that you're doing with him to focus on being and play with a wider base?
I think it comes down to the overall leg strengths and lower body strengths. And when, you know, he comes in, he was already a tall kid at the 13, 14 years old. We know he's going to be bigger, but you know, the strength wasn't there. So his position is always upright, and the coach is always, you know, hey, he needs to get down low and getting better space and everything. But he just didn't have strength to do that. The problem is he feels lazy. I don't know. Hope not. So you know, now he's getting that point. You know, getting good strength on the legs, and then just answer to that question. Just like overall leg strength, he does squat very well. He does some of the power exercise very well, and then so he is now his muscle is ready to getting on that position. And then we do some different exercises to get down low position on the different type of squatting technique, but that's about it.
Can you tell us where your emotions or your thought process went with the match?
When it was match point, I was trying not to really think of the situation. And, luckily that he kind of just, I think he shanked the backhand wide, which helped in the first ball. But, it was just, I was really excited. You know, it was a good feeling, a lot of time and work to put in that, so.
I know we're talking a lot about the physical aspect because you're so tall for your age, but what do you think? How do you think that your physical wellness, the way you feel, health-wise, how does that affect your mental and emotional stability? I mean, you're 15, so I know that. I mean, you know, I know we look at you and think that dude's old. At least you seem older because of your size, but you still deal with that 15-year-old, 16. You're going to deal with that. So, like, how do you? What feeds off the other? Like, do you feel like if the better shape you're in, you feel better mentally and emotionally, and you're stronger?
Yeah. I mean, when I feel like fit and healthy, and I mean, that's usually that's where I get a lot of confidence going on the court, knowing I'm in good shape. I don't really, I'm not going to worry about getting tired, or when it just comes down to tennis. A lot. Obviously, when I was like 13, 14, we didn't have the idea that I'd be like 6'10". I kind of thought I'd be more towards like 6'4", 6'5". Sort of the coaches, similar to my dad. It's actually, it's a totally different experience now, full of the game. And I kind of really started to adapt to that last year, realizing that I'm not going to be able to play tennis how I've always seen tennis played and how I played tennis prior to that. Meaning, points have to be shorter and have to take more risk.
I'm going to ask a question now. How has your coach adapted as well?
Diego at first was definitely, I guess when he started with me when I was 15, He really just wanted to build like a good base from the baseline, and he knew that obviously that could be an issue for me as I grow and movement won't be as good and whatever. So he's definitely changed his mindset as well from that, and now he's spending a lot more time working on transition, moving forward, coming into that as much as possible, and he kind of builds the practices around my style of play.
And are you comfortable with this? Because like Rod was small, and he was young too, and then got bigger and got bigger. And
yeah. I mean, I guess I'm comfortable, but there's still a lot of times where I kind of get away from that mindset of having to, you know, play aggressive and move forward, come in, whatever. And I think that's normal right now, but hopefully, I think in a year or two, it should just become automatic. And I mean, it's definitely become more clear that that's how I need to play. But I think a little more time and eventually, it has to come automatic.
Well, I just want to thank the three of these guys for giving the time. Riley, especially, thanks so much for getting up early and getting here on sort of a training day for him. He's got the major national championships next week and then the rest of the summer where he's going to be playing a lot. So let's all wish him well for the rest of the summer and going into. Okay, so an update for all you Twitter folks that are working on the competition. So, as you can see here, we've had 506 posts using the TennisFit15 hashtag. We've got nearly 1 million impressions, so we'll get 1 million by the next minute if a couple of you start tweeting a little bit more. Okay, so doing okay. I want to see that number up a little bit more. We're getting a lot of good comments from people that aren't here that are actually following along and asking some questions, which is great. So keep sharing, try to pick up the numbers. Again, we've got our leaderboard again. So again, everyone's pushing hard right now. Kim's winning at the moment. We've got Jeff, who's working hard. The numbers in Cameron Moore. I know there's a group competing for Cameron's head on this one, so you guys got to pick it up. Yeah, he is, so it's going to work. So you guys are getting closer. But we've got a couple more hours to pick it up. Also, the most creative tweets, we did a little work on that. I guess we're not the most creative group in the world yet. So let's step that aspect up over the next couple hours. Yeah, and looking forward to the rest of the day. So just to give you guys a quick rundown for how the rest of the morning's going to work, we're going to be starting here with Paige Love. And again, it's Travel Tennis Nutrition. Many of you know Paige. She's probably the best tennis-specific nutritionist in the country. She consults with the ATP and WTA and does a lot of stuff with the USTA as well. And then Satoshi is going to be in the room next door, and it's going to be sort of a weight room session. So it's going to be talking about dumbbell and barbell lifting, what to do in the weight room specifically. Then we're going to go into Dean, who's going to do a really, really impressive presentation on the core, especially for tennis. And then Liz Chapman's going to be in the other room, medical manager for the USTA Medical Services, and going to be talking all about the hip. We all know how important the hips are, so that's going to be a great presentation. Then we go through the rest of the day, as you can see on the schedule, and we're going to finish up in here with the future of tennis-specific fitness. It's going to be part presentation, part discussion. So look forward to the rest of the day, and keep tweeting, keep networking with each other, and look forward to chatting with everyone a little bit more before we finish.
I'm going to give you a Yeah,
because I got like 10. But it's on the total
street. Give me 10.
I'll give you 10.
Yeah.